many rivers to take you out. Sometimes you have to step out and act upon His word. We hear it. We recognize it to be the truth. Then we go to acting upon it. Watch the miracle take place. So many times we wait for God to do something first. Because we think that seeing is believing. But faith sees the finished work. Amen. Faith stands upon the basis of that finished work. Hallelujah. Oh, may God teach us and help us to believe how to approach Him. How to appropriate the things that He has already made available. All these things that are finished work is something of the past. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. He has nothing to bless you with now. He's just trying to lift your faith, bring your understanding. To let you see what He has done for you, and you can come and receive it by faith. That's the gospel. That's the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. The words were finished before the foundation of the world. But faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. How shall he hear without the preaching? How shall he preach? Can it be sent? But the gospel didn't profit many people because it didn't meet with faith in them that heard it. God wants you to meet with faith, to believe it, to apply it. That apply that blood that hits us. Come on, faith, everyday faith. To apply it before it can be displayed. That's the way to apply it. How to apply it. What to apply it with. So that there could be a displaying of that blood. God is still the same today. He laid His ways out in the Bible. We can look and see. As we approach Him today, let us search our hearts and remove all unbelief. If they doubt the Lord, help my unbelief. Lord, increase my faith. You want to meet them as a believer. You want to stand and ask in faith with nothing wavering. Believing that you have received what you ask for, then you shall have it. That is promise. Almighty God, we so appreciate this blessed opportunity today, Father. When we take, dear God, the value of having you in our great presence, in our midst. Not because, dear God, we did something to bring you here, but because you promised where two or three are gathered together in my name, yeah, I am in the midst. Because you said the world will not see me, but you will see me, I will come unto you and manifest myself unto you. I will be with you always. I will never leave you nor forsake you. How the Bible admonishes us, we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves. Much more we should be approaching. Oh gracious God, we come today, Father, even though this building might be hot. Lord God, we look beyond that and we see the privilege that we have. We see the opportunity that we get under us. We see, oh God, that we are redeeming people. Yet, God, you have done something. Lord, we can come and receive from you, dear God, how we appreciate that and know that what we are receiving has been blood bought. Oh God, it is given by grace, by your merited favors. Lord, we search our hearts as we stand in your presence. And David said, search me, oh God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior. No might and I pray. See if there be the wicked way in me. Cleanse me from every sin and set me free. Lord, that's how we want to come, find that attitude. Your Holy Spirit, Lord, will never let our coming together and gathering your presence become a formality. Knowing, oh God, one of these days, you will not no longer tolerate unbelief in the hearts of people to be gathered together with believers. For the church will be without spot and wrinkle. Amen. Oh God, you will separate all unbelief among your people, oh God. Lord God, while we have the opportunity today, may we, oh God, have the heart that the Spirit of God can convict. Know when the Spirit comes, it comes to reprove the world of sin. Oh God, of righteousness, of judgment, oh God. Come to bring back into remembrance, teach us all things, show us things to come, to lead us and guide us to all truth, to continue your work in your redeemed body, O God. Father, we bring our spirits, we bring ourselves, subject, offering our entire being to a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto you, which we know is a reasonable service today. Lord Jesus, blow out all our transgressions. Sanctify us, O God. Lord, give us repentant hearts, O God, as we stand in your presence. That their God faith will truly operate. We know, God, where there's condemnation, we can have confidence. And condemnation, Lord, can only legally remain in someone's heart. Lord God, their sin. But Lord, I pray today, Father, that your Holy Spirit will move to your word. That very word is quick and sharp and powerful, and discerning the thoughts and the intents of the heart, dividing asunder soul and spirit. Oh God, going in, piercing and cutting in the joints. Lord God, in the bone and the marrow, God. Revealing the thoughts and the intent of the heart. Lord, I pray, Father, that as we sit in your great presence, and through your word be ministered unto us, that we will be made clear, that we will see a way, O God, be ministered, yet, God, we might walk into a closer walk. We might come into a greater faith. We might come into a deeper surrender, O God. We might come to a place of such holy union, Lord, of such harmony. Where all the powers of the living God that is present can work in and through among your people, O God, for the perfecting, for the advancement of the children of the living God. Your work might be fulfilled, this great commission might be completed, Father. Knowing you are designed to pray of answers, Lord God, we look to you, Father, the author and the finisher of our faith. Believing, O God, that you begin to work in us with performing even until the day of Jesus Christ. As many do love, we rebuke and chase. Oh God, give us a, you should be self to repent. Give us a zeal, oh God, for these things, Father. There is so much zeal in this day for everything else. Oh God, but let it be a real godly zeal, Father. Oh God, to redeem the time to walk with understanding, not to be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. To be quick to repent, oh God, to lay aside of a witness sin, not so easily be set us, dear God. Have your way, Father. If your judgment begins in the house of God, let this place, oh God, not just come as a workplace or a school or some place where people walk in and out, Father, without any take, Lord, to strike the conscience, cause them to search the lives. But let it be a place always, a pillar and ground of truth. Oh God, when we walk in these doors, dear God, we realize we are gathered in your great presence. How we want to walk holy, live a holy life, turn the wrong and do the right. Oh God, we know that sin can hinder your church, Father. God, we want to walk circumspectly. We want to live clean, we want to live right. May, O God, the Spirit of the living God call out the underneath, wherever it might be, O God. May the Spirit of God bring conviction, Lord God, and bring the fear of God upon the people. Then, God, people will just go along, walk with humble shoes, where angels get afraid. Grant it, Lord. Lead us, direct us in the service today. We thank you for what you are doing. We thank you for the blessings you have blessed many with, O God. Father, we pray, O God, will so stimulate our faith in lead us, O God, to a deeper consecration. We might see more and more of your Holy Spirit working in and among us. Your name might be glorified. May we be concerned about your name being glorified, Father. So many times we just know ourselves, we just know our name, we just know our reputation, we just know our status, we just know our career, we just know our ambitions. Oh God, we are so disinterested in the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh God, Father, we realize our name, our life is nothing, oh God. But Lord Jesus, your name is everything, Father. Your word is everything. Your word is everything, oh God. Oh God, when this world falls, everything of this world will fall with it. But only them that love you and are part of you will stand. Take your word and by your spirit, make these things such realities in our heart. Dear God, you will not be able to walk in an unconscious state of mind, but we will walk conscious, Lord, because of how your spirit will have dealt with us by your truth. Grant, we pray. We commit this service, commit each and every one into your hands now. May the Holy Spirit take every spirit under his control. Dear God, as the word will go forth, every heart and mind will be brought into the presence of God under the influence of the voice of the Spirit. Your will might be accomplished here for gathering us today. Believing you have a divine purpose in bringing us to this place. When we come and we leave, going back to these doors, may we leave satisfied knowing that we can say it was good to be in the house of God today. Didn't our hearts burn because he came to us along the way. Grant it, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray and we ask it. Amen. Amen. Praise his lovely name. I want to greet you this morning in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. And we'd like to turn our Bibles to the book of Acts.
I'm going to read a couple of portions, and we take chapter 5 and kind of work a little bit from there. I'm expecting to receive from the Lord this morning.
Amen.
Amen. Praise His wonderful name. Acts chapter 5. You know, we've been preaching on spiritual gifts, and I'm just continuing writing that this morning. And we're going to read out Acts 5. And bringing this word of knowledge, a little bit of wisdom. We've been on wisdom for a little while, and just we're going to bring a part of this also. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price. His wife also being privy of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost, and to keep back part of the price of the land? While it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, or died. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, or wrapped him up, and carried him out, and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that you have agreed together to test, or to tempt, literally test, the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them who have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. And she fell on straightway, or immediately at his feet, and gave up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carried her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things. Also, we want to get a portion in Acts 15, where we take another manifestation of this word of knowledge, as is operating in the Bible and the church. We take Acts 11 first, if I continue on what I want to read in chapter 15, verse 19, Acts 11, 19. Now they who were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who when they were come to Antioch spoke unto the Grecian or the Greeks, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed, and turned unto the Lord. These were some Gentiles who was coming in, or because they had some Gentiles who were coming before. And then the Bible says here that some men were of Cyprus and Cyrene. When the persecution started, well, they safe a place for them to go was back to the homeland where they were from, because they had went far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, Antioch. So when they went back to their own place, they began to preach, and then some Jews, Greeks rather, begin to hear and believe. And the hand of the Lord with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem. So the church of Jerusalem was hearing how people out there in Antioch, many Greeks were coming to the Lord, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. Who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a righteous man, and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. And many people were added unto the Lord. You see how the Holy Spirit specified faith here with Barnabas as singling out a particular gift. He was full of the Holy Ghost. He didn't say, in some places he was full of the Holy Ghost wisdom, some places he was full of the Holy Ghost did miracles, some places he was the Holy Ghost full of faith. So he had singled out faith. And many people were added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus to seek Saul. So when he went and he saw this great work, how it began to flourish, the evangelist had went out and preached, he knew that they needed teaching. So the first person he think about was Saul. I'm going to pick up that later on and see why he went for Saul and didn't go for Peter, why he didn't go for maybe John or James or somebody. But he went for Saul. It's because he knew he was the one who introduced Saul to the apostles, and he knew that Saul had a testimony when he met the pillar of fire. He said he'll go to the Gentiles one day. And this was not a Jewish church, no, it was a Gentile church that had been established here. First Gentile church and first Greek work outside of the church in Jerusalem was Antioch. And it came to pass that for a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught many people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch, not in Jerusalem, in Antioch. And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. So Barnabas was an apostle first, he came, and he went to Saul, another apostle and teacher, and then now they had prophets coming from Jerusalem unto Antioch as well, in those same days. And there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great famine throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. So he tells us when he gives the prophecy, and he tells us what time it came to pass. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren who dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it by the elders, to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. And you notice, it wasn't until somewhere in chapter 13 that the order changed. Anytime you read the book after, you always Barnabas and Saul, Barnabas and Saul. But then when the Holy Spirit separated them, then it became Paul and Barnabas. Barnabas was always chief first. He was the one in the faith before. He was the one who introduced Paul to the apostles. He was the one, like the senior one. When they were separated, and that real ministry was going to come for the Gentiles, Paul became the chief one. It changed completely. And sometimes you see God let a man take a back place, God let a man take a low place for a while. And go along until the time comes when he singles him out to service. These are things we are learning, and these are things we want to see and understand how the Spirit of God works in His church, sets His church in order, moves in His people, and how God fulfills His word. Not so much of what people want to see, but to understand the pattern, because the book of Acts is not a framework. The book of Acts is the foundation. Amen. The book of Acts is the church in action. Amen. The book of Acts is God, who was above us and with us, came in us. God and his people. Amen? And chapter 13, quickly, if you have a seat. Chapter 13, from verse 1. Now there were in the church that was in Antioch certain prophets and teachers, and Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, and Lucius the Cyrenian, Manian, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. So even Saul here is mentioned least. Notice that. Barnabas first of the head. These prophets and teachers that was in the church in Antioch. What a great church. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work unto which I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. And that is how when somebody goes officially out, that's how they go. That's the only way to go. That Holy Spirit spoke, separated them, placed them out, and then they gave sanction and witnessed it, the ones who was there, because they recognized these men were gifted men. Why? Because the gift is operating among the local people. The local people knew that these men, who were the teacher, when he stood to teach, never tangled up himself in the word, he never teach false doctrine, never misplaced and mislocated the word. He taught the word, it was laid out, he was blessed by God, identified people. They saw evangelists when he got up there, they saw how the Spirit used him and so on. So when the time came, they knew that those men was already a blessing and a proof on the inside. It wasn't somebody's ambition running outside to do something and they didn't even recognize inside the church to begin with. See? Watch the order. When you see it, you can never ever have your faith overthrown. You can never ever be influenced in something that rises up in so-called self-proclaimed business. You know how God works. You saw it in Alpha, you know how it's going to be in this day. Verse 4. So they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost. See, who sent them forth? The Holy Ghost. The other gifts in the church, they just bear witness to it. So they're being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus, and when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister as their helper. So they took along John Mark with them to be a helper to them, maybe help make arrangements, travel arrangements, help minister things, help take care of little things, so they can give themselves to the ministry of the word and prayer. He didn't go for the ride. He was to be the helper. And when they had gone through the isles and the Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar Jesus. Could you imagine a Jew who had the true religion, who had the prophets, who had the law, is a sorcerer? That's what the Bible says. Notice how it lays up the man here for you. They found a man who was a sorcerer, he was a false prophet, he was a Jew, and the man had even named Bar Jesus, means son of Jesus, Jehovah Savior. So watch. Who was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God? But Elymas the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them. The man desired to hear the word. But this man withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes upon him and said, O full of all mischief, full of all deceit and mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. So watch here. In that one statement, in that one experience, first he discerned the man's spirit, Secondly, prophesied judgment on the man. See? And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Not so much the wonder. Amen. Being astonished at the doctrine. Because the man desired to hear the word of God. The man was seeking truth. The man wasn't seeking miracles. The man was seeking truth. Amen. Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John departed from there, or in other words, deserting them, returned to Jerusalem. Let us bow our heads and pray. Gracious God, it astonishes us to read these records of you, the same God we believe in this morning, the same God we claim to serve, the same God that was revealed in human flesh, according to St. Luke 17:38, the same God that is back among the true believers, working in and through them to fulfill your word. Lord, we realize that when you work back through these, you could have worked in such a way, such clear manifestations of the Spirit, such divine operations of the gifts of God, such a powerful witness, such divine judgment, such great revelations. Sometimes it scares people, Lord, when they read of these things. Why should we be afraid of the Holy Spirit? You know, when you shed your blood to cleanse a people, that you might come back and live and dwell and walk in your people and manifest your word. Because Christ in the true church is the continuation of the book of Acts. Lord, I pray, Father, as we work by spiritual laws to achieve spiritual things, as we work by the spiritual principles of your word, may you create a desire in our hearts. May you, dear God, bring to the sincerity, the Lord God, everything that is negative, everything that is wrong, everything that is none of you, be moved completely out of the way to see your word operate and work with such clarity and such effectiveness for your honor, for your glory, that your work truly might be fulfilled. And the scriptures that we have here, for example, Lord, will bear record you are the same God. Same one that was in Alpha is the same in Omega here today. We cannot manufacture these things, but we desire to see your word operate that way. That is your promise for this hour. You will do it because that is your program, Father. So I pray to you, take your word and deal with every heart today as you wait before you. And may the glory of this service be acted in Jesus' precious name. Amen. God bless me. Have a seat. Well, we know this place is hot, and as the day advances, the sun is going to get hotter until it goes past midday and the sun becomes in full strength, and we're going to feel the increasing heat here. And that has a way many times to weary your minds and throw you out of focus sometimes, and the devil just could use and exploit any condition he has to his own advantage. And when he does that, sometimes he become successful in hindering us from receiving what the Lord would like to have us to receive. I'm certainly glad to see some of you that is here in the house of God today, and I really pray that God will do something special for you, and you come in God's house, those that I need, and in great need to see Him touch you. God is here to break the power of darkness around us. Sometimes people have sin in their lives and they just can't seem to be free from it. It's like a chain that has bound them. And the master who has bound them with that chain holds that chain as a leash that he controls their life with. And sometimes a person in that condition, they try to rise in their own strength and it's so difficult for them. But Almighty God can break that chain. Amen. He shed his blood to break those chains. Yes, we might be free. We have a
your sister here, who I told you I had to come here last Tuesday to talk with someone, and she's in the service this morning, giving God thanks for delivering her from the powers of darkness. After prayer on Tuesday, she desired to surrender her life to the Lord, and I think I saw her in the shower. God bless you. We will be in the house of God this morning, and she will be a friend to the Graham family, and they have been working with her and brought her to see me, and we had a little interview here on Tuesday, and God did something very miraculous for us, something very immediate, and the kind of darkness, the kind of evil powers that was around her life broken like that. And she's here giving thanks this morning, and I pray that God will give her experience now with the word in understanding now, that her mind will be enlightened, that she will understand better from the scripture what those things are. Because gifts and call it up repentance. And God, through sovereign grace, can bring deliverance to people by even unscriptural people having gifts. Is that right? So sometimes a person experiences freedom or ease or liberty. It might be temporal, it might be permanent. That lies in the sovereign grace of God and the attitude the person takes to what God has done for them. The Bible just made that tell people, go and sin no more, lest a worse thing happens to you. Is that the Bible? Yeah. Because the devil walks in dry places, and when he cannot find a place, he comes back and he finds a house swept and garnished, but not full. Then he go and get 7 more devils worse than the one that was there. And sometimes the one that was there has given you such torment, because the word devil means a tormentor. And people live in such torment under the devil for so many years. Woman had an issue of blood for 12 years, spent all her money to the doctors. Another woman had a paralyzed hand for 18 years. Another man had the palsy for 38 years. Is that right in the Bible? That's a long, long time to be under the power of a devil. Holding you in sickness, tormenting your life, taking away your peace, robbing you of the enjoyment and the privileges of doing things normal, ministering to your family, ministering to your home, sometimes in an insane condition, sometimes out in an institution, you just don't have no peace. It's a dark life. Could you imagine to have it sevenfold? But yet many times it happens. You know why? People don't grasp the understanding of what has happened by the word. And I trust that the Holy Spirit will take the scriptures and drive it down into our heart to give us understanding. Because we will take these messages and trying to bring to you in this series here, that so many people claim to know God, but what they call God, they mean a little joy and blessing. But he says when you come down to dealing with spirit, it's a different thing. And we're trying to open up these things to show you the realm that Jesus lived in and worked in. The realm that the apostles lived in and worked in. And what the world restored back to us in the last days has come for. It's not that they may give you a little self-righteous feeling and make you think that you're free when you come out of the denomination. Because the very word shows that they came out of Egypt and they never even went to the promise, that God destroyed them because of their unbelief. Amen. Is that right? Amen. We see 70 ministers ordained by Jesus, giving power to cast out the devils, came back rejoicing, and said, don't rejoice that the devils are subject unto you, rejoice that the name is in the Lamb's book of life. Is that right? Amen. And the same man, when he said, except you eat your flesh and blood of the Son of Man, and you eat your flesh and drink your blood, you have no life in you. The Bible says, the heart said, and they walk away and they follow him no more. They never went to Pentecost to get the Holy Ghost. Yet they were ordained by Jesus, given power to cast out devils. Their name was in heaven. Even chosen by Jesus. Jesus said, have I chosen 12 of you? And one is the devil. Is that right? So you can be chosen by God. You can have an understanding of the mysteries. They came and said, Master, what were you saying when you were teaching these deep things? We missed it in the service. You were talking about the sow and the seed and this and that and gathering the wheat and gathering the tares, and we didn't get it. And the Bible says he explained to them the mysteries of the kingdom. So they were chosen. Their name was in heaven, written in the book of life. They had gifts. They cast out devils and all these things. Amen. That power from Jesus. chosen by him
and could still be lost.
Amen?
So you realize in the plain truth, it's not resting on a religious feeling.
The whole experience of the Holy Spirit is to bring you into union with Christ, where all things are possible and all things become new. Then, by that experience of the indwelling Spirit in your life, God begins to cause you to grow in grace and in knowledge of the Lord, learning His ways, understanding His ways, no longer pleasing, staying in harmony with Him, allowing His Word to work through you, because He has predestinated you. He has called you according to His purpose. He has a place for you in His body, and He wants to work through you to fulfill His Word. Is that what the Bible teaches? So a person isn't just designed to say, well, I belong to the Celestial Assembly. Well, I'm in the church up here. Oh, I find, yeah, in this church things is going nice. Oh, they put up on a man, and they put up on a church, and they put up on a teaching. Nobody wants to rely on that. You want to know in your heart, I walk with Jesus Christ every day. He lives in me. He dwells in me. Amen. I see my life. I see my spirit. Could say amen to every word in this Bible. Regardless what some pastor say, regardless what some church say, regardless what some man say, let every man be alive and let God's word be the truth.
Amen.
Amen. Then you can find something and say, all of those says, that will I do, even though it's skin your hide. Even though it's wrong, it's a lot of wrong. I need mercy. I had a real understanding. Your Bible says, I taught men that. I believed it. It's wrong. Wash me with the water of your word.
Amen.
Amen.
Let me tell you. You're going to find that God can either leave you right here to live a church life if that is what you desire. If God will try to wound you, if God will try to bring you deeper, if God will try to give you a little experience to show you there's more and to excite you, and then God give you a little material blessing, oh, and you're all thrilled, then God is seeing your soul crave natural things more than spiritual things. Such a person will always be hard to seek for the kingdom of God. They'll be seeking these other things first. But a person who has faith and experience with God will seek for the kingdom of God, knowing these other things shall be added unto you.
Amen.
Is that the word?
Yes.
I know you haven't heard it. Your birds neither sow nor gather in barns, yet God is feeder. Living neither toil nor spin, yet God is clothed. I know you haven't heard those things. Your father knows you haven't heard those things. How many people have children here that know a child in a pair of shoes? Your child in a new clothes. You see, when poor they pass by the cars. You see, when they're going to go to pants already. You don't like how we look at it, you punch him, is that right?
Amen.
You find a little sickness, part of the flu, the children, yeah, but I don't know, the coughing, there's cold, mucus, the guy's sleeping in the night. You realize, my children need a better diet than that. I need to, you know, kind of strengthen them. I just can't give them corn curls and, you know, little biscuits and all kinds of things. I have to put some nourishment on the table for them. And you know to do that to take care of children. But then why do we think that God doesn't see? When people's lives are weak, when they face conditions, they can't battle certain things. Amen. When storms in life can shake them. When God sees that He gives them the carry out and they're so easily influenced away from keeping His commandments, from doing the little thing that God asked them to do. They'll put it on a shelf and leave it so long. I'm wrong too. Amen. But God wants us to cope with every word. God wants us to walk in a place we can be above the Father's business.
Amen.
Amen. And God does things. Sometimes you do things to your children. They see the attitude, see how they're coming along with the police. See? And you see they appreciate what you do for them. And when you see no appreciation, you realize, hey, we are on a talk. So you try to find a place and the time to talk to them. See, you don't want to provoke them. You know, that discredit them and, you know, just frustrate them all. But you find a place and time to talk to them. And try to be sure, look, that was to help you here. That was to help you here. And you miss it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then you're going to realize, oh yes, you know, I'm sorry. And then you check your values, you check your priorities. It makes you feel better for yourself.
Yeah.
And you realize,
I need some discipline because I have been taught to do it. I have the desire to do it. I really like to do it. I have nothing against doing it. But I just can't do it. What is it? You lack discipline. You lack self-control. Because when you go to do that, something else coming your way, you just can't seem to leave these things undone. Be focused on what you're doing. Be complete and thorough in fulfilling what you set out to do. Before you're doing 5-6 different things and everything incomplete. You ain't fulfilling none. And then you're going to realize, no, I need to be able to manage these things better than that.
Amen.
You need to watch yourself. And so it is God brings us to situations to teach us and show us where we miss things sometimes. Where he does things to help us. And we fail to relate and change our behavior and let the lesson that he intended those things to teach us becomes an influence to us and a bridle to us, something that will govern our behavior from here on. Sometimes you have to keep a watchful eye over us. And suddenly you come to a brother or a sister or read the word or the Spirit bring it back to your remembrance to remind you, hey, I taught you that. I want this thing, you know, drop. I want a new attitude cultivated there. That caused the problems the last time. It'll cause the problems again. You're not watching it.
Amen.
And he works with you until he brings you through it. Why? Because he's interested in your development.
Amen.
He has a purpose for you. He wants to give you better responsibility. Amen. But he wants to see you faithful in the least before you be faithful in all. And we train our children like that. Then how much more God, the great parent? We only have these traits in us to make us think like a parent and act like a parent and be interested in children. Where we get that trait from? We get that trait from God because he was the first parent and we are his offspring.
Amen.
Is that right?
Amen.
Sure. Man the offspring of God. So Adam had the trait of his father. And that comes down to the human race for 6,000 years. So he knows evil. Yet we have lost that strain. And it helps us to understand this great invisible God.
Amen.
To know his ways. To serve him. And so here we desire to see this great Holy Spirit that we read of in the world. How he dealt with them in the Bible. And sometimes when we take the scriptures, you can just read a little portion. I read quite a lot here this morning. And maybe this portion I read here, I'm going to be able to cover all of it in one service. But what we are looking at here, and we have been looking at in the past services, we've been talking about these 9 gifts, how they are here today. And I've been proving from the word back and forth to you that people say, well, the gifts in a past age and so on, and showing that it's here, it's always here. As long as the Holy Spirit here, all that the Holy Spirit comprises of or consists of is here.
Amen.
And especially when we're in the age of the person of the Holy Ghost, it means all that he was, is, and ever will be is here now.
Amen.
Because God cannot change. And sometimes that don't get home to people. This great revelation of an unchanging God. That to know that God could have spoken tongues before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
God doesn't speak in tongues until the Pentecost. That's nothing that happened 2,000 years ago. Every language God knew before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
Because God never thinks a new thought.
Amen.
God couldn't act in not his infinite. He's perfect to begin with.
Amen.
He never learned nothing.
Amen.
He's all knowing. Because he's not infinite, he's not omniscient. If he's not omniscient, he don't know all things. If he don't know all things, he's like me and you, he has to learn.
Yeah.
He needs a teacher. But God is not like that.
Yeah.
And that's why sometimes people, you know, think the Bible contradicts and people, you know, they go here and they go here because why? With their finite minds, they try to look at it through some human understanding. But when the very Spirit that wrote this word begins to move in us, not trying mentally to learn this now, but receiving an enjoyment of revelation from the Spirit, And that will happen because that's why he said, the Spirit of truth will come to do what? Lead your God into all truth. God is interested in you growing in greater than knowledge. God is interested in you knowing. Because if you don't know, you can't have no peace. It's the knowledge of the word that brings peace to your heart. If you didn't know what to do, be a sure confused person. You don't know what to do with your finances, you're sure going to have problems. You may not have money, then you know you don't have to go through all the birds, you can always spend your money, use your money correctly. Is that right? Sure. But watch. We've been looking at in the Old Testament, and I've been showing you how all these gifts were always in the Old Testament. And the reason they were in the Old Testament, because the God of the Old Testament and the God of the New Testament is the same God. He didn't become something more in the New Testament. He did the same God revealing himself in another way. Amen. In a closer way. God was above us. Now God came with us. Yeah. That God was made flesh. Is that right? Yeah. I mean, in the Bible in 1 Timothy 3:16 says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness, for God was made manifest in the flesh. How many know John 1 says, in the beginning of the world was God, the world was God, and God fought it, and the world was made flesh and God among us. His name shall be called Emmanuel, meaning what? God with us. God coming down with us. The same God, head and flesh. And when Jesus came, he began to display things that he displayed in Moses. Is that right? He displayed things he displayed in Joseph. He displayed things he displayed in Daniel. Why? Because all the prophets were part of God. And he was the fullness. Christ is the fullness. God in sundry times and died as man spake to the prophets, but we love dead us spake in his son. Is that what the Bible says? And all along the sons of the prophets shout. They all spoke of him. They were reflecting him. They were part of him. They were displaying what he would be when he comes. So Daniel had a gift of wisdom. Is that right? Yeah. All the prophets had a gift of knowledge. That's why they say, and on the Bethlehem, Judah shall come for the governor to rule my people. Hallelujah. Yeah. And he shall be wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. And there'll be a voice of one crying in the wilderness. Where are they getting that information from? 712 years, Isaiah was speaking to you, he was going to be there. Placing him in the desert, making a highway for our God. Yeah. Is that right? Speaking of the suffering of the Messiah. Why? God revealing those things. See? Faith and miracles. Look in the Bible, Elijah and Elisha did miracles. Moses did miracles. And we see in the Bible. And then we had gifts like healing and so on. God had healing all in the Old Testament. Look at the bread and Poland they got here. That's why it bothers me today. The real atonement is being lifted up. People are going to bring it to Poland and get healed. But I feel a brass serpent, I couldn't heal nobody. Yet they look at the word, the full of the reality, and can't get healed. Healing is in a man. Healing is a finished work. Healing lies in your faith in the finished work. Man, the prayer for you the other night, and your faith in the finished work. But people sit back there and leave it up to a man when it's their own faith happening in the finished work. God, that thy faith has healed thee. Not him, thy faith has healed thee. Look and live. But you know why these things are never zeroed and clear in the minds of people? They believe God can do these things. What they have is their knowledge of faith, not faith. Because when it comes to them now, girl, to be zeroed and walk in that place, see in the world and say, that is the will of God. It's finished. Something bothers them. They hope it happens. And they will go along for years or every one and say, Lord, I don't want to go along like that. Every time I want to believe, I have a fear in the past. Lord, take it and give me real faith. They were scared as if they never asked God one day. And this guy knew you 10 years old. Why? people in their condition, and they still won't abandon the Christianity with it. You need to get before God and say, God, I don't know what you saw. I heard faith preached last week. I saw them explained from the Bible. I saw the examples, and I realized I don't operate in that principle, Lord. Lord, let me operate like that when my condition comes. Let me get a hold of what that person got a hold of in the Bible here. Now that's the way a believer relates to the world. That's why God teaches the word. That's why God places it out for you. That's why you bring it personal and then put it in the scripture. You know what happened? You sit down and say, oh good, I'm not going to preach for you. I like what you tell. I love to see a man title. So we in the right church. He's a title. And you get carnal and they go on the flesh and they miss the whole thing because it don't help you personally. You shall be a minor man. And you miss it. When God is insisting in bringing you to a personal relationship, like a brother, you are walking with this plague of life to you. That's what God is interested in. God is interested in a bit of denomination. God is interested in a Baptist church or something. God is intended in fulfilling His own word for this hour. Yeah. How many believe that? Amen. Yeah. Yeah. Then those devils that have come to a man's soul, that war against a man's mind, the fact that a man get away from this scripture. You have to be able to receive faith, to pull down them strongholds. Yeah. Bible says, casting down reasonings. Yeah. Casting down imaginations. Yeah. Casting down every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God. Yeah. You can pull down these strongholds and have a readiness to revenge all disobedience. Yeah. It's walking here. Yeah. But some people, they have disobedience, they have disobedience, they have disobedience, they won't pull up the stronghold. They won't ask God for faith to pull up the stronghold. They will have no zeal now, no readiness to revenge that disobedience. To say, this thing messed up my life, this thing tied me up. God was not to tell me, let me move this up. Let me be like the woman in Luke 15, get the candle and the broom, that will sweep the house and look for what I lost. Amen! Or that will find it! That is why many people, old attitude, old life towards the world is hindering them. And they cannot seem to come into what God has made available because the promise of God is sure to all receive. Amen. Amen. Promise of God is sure. When you sit under the word, you know the Holy Spirit is here.
Amen.
When you sit under the word, you know that's the Holy Spirit in you.
Amen.
See? But then what happens? You walk out there and you get away from that. You walk out there in a circumstance and then you don't deal with it. And yet you get permission. But let me tell you, born in this earth for a purpose. And don't let the devil rob you of that, my friends. Don't let the devil mess up your mind with these things. Don't let the devil bring your worldly business and blind you from these things. Amen. Let God have something eternal for you. Don't let the devil tell you shorten out your compromise and settle for your halfway business. Amen. You have to rise up with some holy indignation. I've got God to be ahead to the sin. I've got head to it up. I don't even understand it. It's controlling me. I don't want to play for Christian that I can't deal with it. Reveal your love in my heart that I love you so much that these things will fade away.
Amen.
When God sees people have problems, and then they're going around talking everything else and don't want to deal with the problem, don't want to address the problem, don't want to focus on it. God calls that hypocrisy.
Amen.
That pretense. Isn't that right?
Amen.
Because I guarantee you, we are so fucking a bubble and rust inside there. Boy, you run to every doctor you can find. You don't even know him and say, my eyebrows looking like it needs an eyebrow pencil. Oh, I find that weaving a piece in the back here. Oh, I find that maybe I need to drop off a pump so I can fit into this fashion. You know, you get concerned with a problem.
Yeah.
Exactly right. But you know what happened? That's the priorities right. And the way they try to get it's so difficult, it's so elusive, it's so hard. You are looking for a breakthrough. If that only know that you're not your own mission on God. You trust God from there, God, and you have no mission now.
Yeah.
Everything that makes your soul happy, God will provide it.
Yeah.
Everything that gives you eternal life, gives you peace and security, fix you up for glory, God has it!
Yeah.
Amen. Oh, may God help you to drive that up in your heart today. To let your life be. Amen. People sitting in the bathroom and they, oh, they see a bathroom and they see an intellectual and they say, oh, that's supposed to be the tips. I want to see that. No, I told the bride getting things. And then they want to pay the bride to Peter Pete. They don't want to take a review Peter took. They don't want to be restituted to Peter made. Is that right?
Yeah.
They don't want to get knocked off the high horse like Paul and lie down their back and look up there and say, what will the Lord have been to do, Lord?
Yeah.
But they want to come in that Paul and get transferred and really close the time and come up before theophany and mystical things. It don't work, so! Amen. Yeah. How many agree with me?
Yeah.
I ain't coming across no big glory, hallelujah, for I'm coming out to find where I'm going wrong and walk closer to you. That's why I need my life more than you. I need that bubble dancing service. I need that service where I can come to a place, become your prisoner. I ask you to say you're good because why? If you're good, God, what is it? What's the glory?
You're
exactly the best I'm doing that. Drop my hand there. So, if they require it, you say that too.
Yeah.
I have to praise me, I've been a good cause, no? You praise me before the devil and before the heaven and before God and holy angels, that you have realized that's what you do.
Yeah.
Then let that word become flesh inside you.
Yeah.
Walk in it with your life and word. And their blood shall cleanse you from all sin. Friends, when we stand in life and death,
yeah,
bro. this girl, sister, coming here, you talk about a deep hole that she was in. You know what kind of hell she is? But she saw when he reached out his hand to me.
I was the Lord and I'm done, now God is done.
He brought me to the married place. Amen! You know why? She came confessing. She came and said, put on that big old rock line and they hear it. Whoop!
And she gets a deal. I don't know that man. That's been my business for. We go to my private business for.
Jesus. I want to get rid of this thing. I want to walk with liberty and liberty. I want to walk with peace and mind. I want to walk with joy. And then I'm the answer that walk for me. Tell me, amen. Instruct me, direct me.
This morning we said some of those same gifts that were operating God Himself in manifestation.
When did they give to me manifestation this way? The manifestation of the Spirit is given to prophets. His definite gift is a certain attribute of God being displayed. But the Bible says the manifestation of God. So you see a manifestation of God in a particular sign or particular wonder or a special miracle. That is, in Acts 19, God did special miracles. There's miracles and special miracles. Moses' hand turned to a leprosy. That wasn't just a miracle to show God if do things in flesh. That was a voice, a prophecy, telling them the right hand of God, who is in the bosom of God. One day will be a leprosy, will be seen the world on the cross. And then when it's put back in like on the day of Pentecost, it was set forth whole, complete.
Amen.
New! Amen! Bring it to the light. The right hand of God, the authority of God. That was a voice of prophecy, that was a special miracle. Is that a voice of that time?
He said, avoid you the first time, and avoid you the next time. See, sometimes people want God to do things just like God. God loves miracles for me. But they don't realize that that's dispensational miracles. If that miracle God does a jump in time, if that miracle to get them ready for a message. The point of them, the promise of the hour, is all in the book. But as we look in the book of Acts, as we begin to study it, we see Jehovah of the old, Jesus the new, the unchanging God, the same yesterday and today and forever. Then when you see what he was yesterday in the Old Testament, what was the time of Jesus, you will see what he is today. He can't change. That's why the Bible becomes the human coming. Try and be spurred by what by the word. Amen. Not somebody's creed, not somebody's dogma, not somebody's private belief or interpretation. The Bible and the scripture is of no private interpretation. Men of old moved by the Holy Ghost, is that right? Amen. All scripture is given by inspiration. Paul will teach the wisdom of God, not words that man is going to teach it. Words that man is going to teach it is from above, from below rather. Sensual and devilish. See? It caused people's faith to stand in the wisdom of man. But the wisdom from above, amen, is both pure and gentle and peaceable. He can teach the wisdom of God, not man's wisdom to check, but words that the Holy Ghost teaches. Where the Spirit of God says the deep things of God. And begin to bring up and show God's purposes. Why God worked this way? Why God worked that way? How are you going to recognize him in your age? How he promised to work in his day? What is going to line up with the Holy Spirit? To know you are part of the program of God. To recognize the same God who was a one man in Jesus Christ. Came down and went in a many-membered body called the church, the bride in that first age. How that same God come back in the day? When, as it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be when the Son of Man shall be revealed. Then that same God, how he comes back out now in a hollow church, not an organization. God said, come out of her, my people, and be not partake of her place. God calling the elect out of the systems in this hour, a calling out message, because God never started an organization, so God will have none. He's calling people out. At midnight, they heard a loud cry, they heard a brand coming, and they went out to meet him. Like Eliezer, when they called Rebecca, called a bride to bring her to the bridegroom. Amen. Like Ruth, how she went out of Moab and come over to the promised land. Amen. To receive redemption. We look at the scriptures and we see that there's a reality. God deals with his people. God meets his people in the promises of the word. How wonderful it is. Amen. How lovely it is. Amen. That's why when you used to hear the word about this, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. And for the prophet, you begin to mix it with faith like the woman with the meal and the oil. She begin to mix it together. Amen. It's going to produce something. And as you hear the word, you take it in that word, have I hid in my heart that I will not sin against thee, or just believe. That word, you hide that word in your heart. Why? It's a treasure that God has given to you. It is a key to your success. Your real success. Amen. To fulfill the real purpose that God put you here. You hold it, you guard it, you keep it. Now what? And we took how their wisdom back there, Solomon and Bezalel and Oholiab, and then we took all that knowledge. We take the knowledge this morning, a little bit of it. And sure back there was Jeremiah before one of the prophets, all a prophet means a gift of knowledge. You know what a prophet is? That's why he's a divine revealer of the word. Because he can catch the word that is forever sent in heaven. He's gifted like an eagle to go higher than anybody else. And get into the realms of God and bring out things that teachers cannot get up there and get. Amen. That evangelists cannot go up there and get. A prophet. Abraham feeds them, they've shown the Lord that God will do nothing. Except he first reveals secrets to his servants, the prophets.
God brings revelation by prophets. I'm so glad people get confused in the head of the prophet, but I'm so glad that God promised that to this day. Otherwise, you'd be eating something talking out of your stomach. We'd be reading some woman preacher, if you read some, because it comes to the evidence of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We'd be reading some scriptural business. We'd be reading some man-made system. But we'd be reading the infallible word of Almighty God. That we can try by the word and see what the word says. Discern in the spirit. And if you have wisdom and knowledge, you must have discernment. Because knowledge, you'll know things. And wisdom, you'll know to apply knowledge. So if you get the answers, they all want to find what you want. It brings discernment. All I told you is give her discernment. The tell is different. Business, personal, and the real. Well, people can't tell the difference in that denomination, the world. They don't have knowledge, they don't have wisdom. They might speak in tongues day and night and still can't see the denomination wrong that God never starts none. By one spirit, we are all baptized into one body. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. There might be 100 man-made faith. There might be 1,000 man-made denominations. But there's one faith, there's one Lord, one baptism, one body, one unity. And no man claims to have the Holy Ghost. Amen. To deny that Jesus is the Christ. No man claims to have the Holy Ghost. Could disagree with the word that the Holy Ghost writes. That's why that problem today. People think they have the Holy Ghost. And then they shut up the word and they can't take the word. So then they have a spirit in their life arguing with the word of the Spirit man. God is not confused. Amen. Amen. Glory. I want to bring in some of this knowledge here, that gift of knowledge. Because it goes together with wisdom. James said, who's a wise man and Jude among you with knowledge? And I say, if you have wisdom, you have that knowledge. Because what are you wise in? This is my real wife. You don't know that? See, somebody meets the test. When Solomon's wife, he spoke 3,000 proverbs. From the hyssop to the tree of Lebanon. Spoke 1,500 parables. Then he had he spoke about fish, he spoke about fowls, he spoke about beasts. And creeping things, revealing God in nature. Man of such wisdom. He told God, he created, expressed, and known creation. Every true artist, every true creator, a manufacturer, something. A man would reflect the man's character, reflect the man's nature. Because it is the very spirit of the man, the intelligence of the man, he's designing him to do what he's doing. Sure, kind of man. Man painting some picture and really leaving when he painted you a lot of in his mind. So I'm seeing the vulgarity of his mind. Moral spirit. See a man out there painting, they paint a nice scenery of the creation or something there. You see that mind, God, and nature. You know, it's something that impresses the man. Amen! Alright, so you let me hear, see what kind of books a man reads. See what kind of music you listen to. See what kind of pictures you have on this wall. You know what kind of spirit inside the man. That's a block, that. Is that right? Sorry, friend. You see, that people will always get fooled so many times. Because they lack understanding. They can't tell different things. They can't discern spirit. So if you have a lying spirit, you have a lot of problems. You have to take a little more. Where is imagination and such great fabulous lies and such exciting stories and everything else? And you can't tell the difference. See? You get some bunch of old wisdom right there, but they crack on zero on that thing right away. Amen. See, a prophetic gift will pick it up a big problem like this. But a man with a prophetic gift. But have that old time. Let him get in a one for one and see. Because he never liked anything.
Amen.
Man, you're giving a problem, but getting a one-to-one somewhere you're going to get something, you feel like food right with family.
Yeah,
amen. Exactly right. Amen. Amen. I had to make a good check at 30 years this morning. I remember once in Bataria, a man got here, living with this young girl, engaged with another one over here, living with another one here, make plans to get married, in the people's house, you were in the internet or the next person, these people get a final, these two girls get a final, this boy went to know the two of them. So the whole thing came out. Then this backslidden person or the backslidden Christian trying to get back in the house of God. And I remember again the office one day, he stood up there, boy, and he went through some things and trying to tell some lies. You talk about lies. I mean, I don't know no ordinary lies. I spent time referring to the very woman. The girl and the mother stand there, and he said, lady, I'll never come in your house. To me, you know me? You put my name in my life. Who is this lady? And the lady just died and said, your heart! You can't believe! I brought one of the invitations to the body name of my daughter and go to my gallery every day. And I was back to the minister coming here. Oh, I'll be coming to the village just every day. And tell me that, yeah, I'll pray home and do a fasting and consecration. The Lord spoke to me and tell me, I'm going to come and help you here and go to the church and these little things. And I said, yes, okay, you want to see me, sir? You say we're going to have a meeting. I said, all right. We have a meeting for the meeting. I said, I'll do it in 2 hours. He said, no, you can do it in 2 hours. And when he finished, while he's talking, I'm praying, man, to the Lord, when he done talk, let me give you the little belt here. I'm just worried. I'm putting it up. I'm lifting on him. He will never come back from here in foolishness. Remember the human in the Bible? Well, that's the last thing you're coming on here. Is that right? Remember one time back in Bataria again? This thing here, get trapped in that adultery. Gone living there, took her husband there. When he's gonna get exposed, and she's trying to tell the most sincere and clean and even swear before God. Let me tell you the truth. And something on my heart, I mean, I ain't no vision, but the Lord, I tell you this gentleman, as a sister, I said, I'm gonna come back here and repent to you. If we do this right. But the Spirit is telling me, you are lying. What you say is the devil. The horror that come upon her. She screamed out in the office and begin to repent afterwards. And I felt that that's true. Come right up. Sit down right here before the angel of the church.
Amen.
Sit down right in the presence of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
That I'm not being judged under divine judgment.
Amen.
Feel I think about out of your world's name. Why? People come around your house of God and make this and pray and keep everything for life and just take everything and just a big social something and they do what you do.
Yeah.
People are going to find us. And there are times when God is going to halt you.
Yeah.
When God is going to halt you, that's the end of the road. See? But what should the Bible say? As we look at this knowledge. The days of Ananias and Sapphira, he said, is supposed to come back in the church. And that's what I'm trying to show you. How come that has become a people reported back and forth? And yet people get confused when they are in the gift. But it's a word of knowledge that calls us here. Where did you get that knowledge and they keep up from the Holy Spirit? You wasn't here. The husband and the wife swear and they were private with everything and they said, look, we go up there. They asked him to use it. They asked him to rehearse the speech. Peter said, God didn't tell you to do that. God didn't even want what you had. You voluntarily were given something. See? But why you're conceived in your heart? Conceived means they get together and they plan a mischief. It was premeditated. That's what the sin was. You say, why is that? Why are you not coming to church with a pretend thing? Because God didn't know that people are doing what they have, they should be doing different things. So they thought, well, You ever see people in the papers? This person given a check for somebody. And this is, God has a new paper here, and the person is giving a check. The person has a check. And God has a new right hand, and he's going to their hand.
Hallelujah. But
people like that kind of thing. They want to be the papers, they want to be on the spotlight. They want to be on the bulletin board, they want to be circulating the newspapers for the whole nation. We gave something. Make sure our name is here. People just like that first thing. Just find the wrong things to get credibility by. Just find the wrong things to become in the eyes of people. You do it. If they had maybe done that quietly, sincerely, but God will bring it back to sevenfold. They can't burn the water with simply. Because not even a drink of water will go on the water. See? But it showed them that their heart was lost in for recognition. Their heart was lost in for something else. And then sometimes it means to the people that the more the objective you think with in order the ulterior motive and ulterior objective. In order that love of God or love of the things of God and the abandonment of the world was supposed to be fair or something. It's like for influence, to get power, to get control, to be recognized, to be elected to office, to have influence among people or something. Let me tell you, when they do that, they bring the heaping fools of fire over him. Because Jesus, God, became poor and we can become rich. God so loved that he gave, not the corruptible thing like gold or silver, but the precious blood of the Lamb of God who is without spot and blemish. Is that what the Bible says? Sure. Now watch. Quickly. Let me. Met God to whom is the arm of the Lord will be. He says, now watch. So therefore the same spirit that was in that day, yesterday, the same signs, wonders, miracles have been performed. Same people believing in the same manner. When they see the apostle Peter recognize it to be the gift of God in him, when he called out and told people what they did, and they recognized he, Ananias, and Sapphira, their sins, he knew what God took in his heart to do. And then that after him recognizing that, the prayer lines got so great till Peter couldn't even pray for them. Because I didn't read the other portion because when I get the miracles and faith and so on, I'm going to pick up the other portion. But what took place in the church, the judgment in the church, is what brought all the great miracles and signs I wanted to have heard afterwards. You see how God works? You study God's ways. It's so different. We do that fast and pray to bring a revival in the power of God and so on. God took the pretense and dealt with it in such a way. The unbelief, the hypocrisy, and dealt with it in such a way. That both the fear and that prayer that wildfire, and the prayer got so great that they were just going to see their shadow. You see, I can't lay hands on wrong lines no more. People are just stepping the shadow on me. He says, look, that old fisherman, his shadow would pass with him. Anyone that his shadow passed over healed. There is no scripture for that. There wasn't any then. But God healed them because they respected the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. I don't scripture that there, you walk in a man's shadow and get healed. Amen. But they were respecting God by having confidence that our God and the office working, that our God church, God anointed Paul church, that our God projected offices in the church, and now the Holy Spirit operates into them. And they were able to draw from God what they had in them. It showed that these people understood something about God's system, how it's set up in the church, and they knew the divine approach to a gift of God to receive the benefit from the things that God has for his body. That is one of the problems with their people. They don't know the system God has in the church. They don't even know how to approach God. They don't know the way God is telling them to benefit. They don't even know how to have confidence in the gifts that God put for them. See? That's what I'm sure I'm only dead baby. All is well. Take him from the man of God. All of God. Man of God says, you have to do that. I do try to do something that happens. Maybe this man is a good man. He's going to destroy. Maybe he should get killed. If he's coming from a king like Rebecca, the same place, Rebecca get picked up. Make this man say, maybe this man is taking a long journey. Maybe have a glass of water that this man is carrying. And the willingness to serve. Move a bride into the position you have that bride. Display the sweet character here. The willingness to be hospitable. As I said on Friday night, people want to see great things. You know, what is this? God put all kinds of gifts in the body. The nice spiritual gifts, wisdom, knowledge, faith, miracles, discernment, healing, tongues, interpretation, prophecy. Nine gifts in the body. Spiritual gifts. Spiritual manifestation. Then there's gifts of music. Gifts of exhortation. Different type of gifts. Gifts of giving. Gifts of new hospitality and these things. The Bible shows. People could cook and different people could sow. All that gifts. Gifts that people have in prayer and building. It's gifts. God has put all the gifts spiritual. He puts them in the social realm. He puts them in the realm of music. He puts them in the spiritual realm for spiritual benefit of people. And so everybody have a portion. But all is in God. And this woman, she was in a baby. But what she got a baby? She could have cooked something. They had a little money for the time. They built a little room. They offered some hospitality. That brings a vision. Is that right? That vision brought a prophecy, and that prophecy was a miracle. How is that? The woman used what she had. She just used what she had. Look at another man who played music. I know what he did. He had a way to play string music. He had a way to get anointed. And when he began to play through a certain feeling, he attracted his spirit. Prophet comes and says, people need water. They're fighting a battle, they're dying outside here. This is a miracle, this is something from God. Only a miracle can happen here. Everybody is dying. 3 days, no water. And then they brought to bring me a minstrel. The man that I play, his gift of music. Bring the spirit in the prophet. Prophecy of vision. Prophet prophesy. Is that right? A miracle is what? And all of those things. Read the book of Kings. But where's that? Am I the music? God to the world from inside. God can take a social gift. That serve all that. God has sewn clothes and God. Look how much people, when God has died, but they weep and they cry. They felt it so much because they felt some weak and died instead. But all these people in tongues in here, this woman here, close to the people outside here. So and this and that and making and coming in naked and do this and do that with a little needle and thread. But God, they took all his clothes into a shirt piece and they said, okay, doctor's doing this, this doctor's doing this, doctor's thinking here, this tip got there, this trip to my home here, laughing. When the child was there, she don't want to do this kind of bring this. Exactly right. You see, sometimes people get to beg on the sheep. They don't see God and they don't see what God has in mind. They feel what they want to do. And then that energy begins to drive them. So they try to bring that to pass instead of seeing what God wants. Yeah. Seeing how God has designed their life. And seeing and being contented in the place where God has it. And having faith and confidence that God can use this to be a blessing effectively. All choked in the economy.
Amen.
In just the way, because you make no mistake when you want to use it. A part here was very necessary in God's economy.
Amen.
Amen. And so here we see that when this discernment came down, he says, look, men's got faith in the Son of God. He said, I tell you something. There was this man. Come on, man went out and done something, come on. Thought they could get by with him before the church. They lied about him. They said he stole our drunk for so and so, but there was a man standing there with a prophet. He said, why has the devil put in your heart the life of the Holy Ghost? Such a shock killed the man. He knows that that is a such situation that nobody will know at all.
The man who is telling the prophet, he's going to be going to the country or something.
You know that man, they have no deal with the church yet.
They know their own private business. They know they're dealing with anybody, they swear to secrecy.
They know there's another party involved to know anything about it. Yet by a word of knowledge.
And I'm trying to show you something. Here is the gift again. What the word of knowledge now offers the church here in judgment? What the word of knowledge runs in separately, Saul and Barnabas? What the word of knowledge there? But tell the man, he says, you're blind for a season. He knew he's not coming to death with a temporal judgment. Watch this. Operating the people. If you come in any circumstance, it comes here to Peter and them personally. It comes to the church fasting and praying in Antioch. See? It can come different ways. What Agabus when he said that? The prophet came and the man said, there will be a famine for not the whole world. And the Bible told the men heard that. Because they have taken the gift.
Amen. They say, I ain't in that so much.
That's our prosperity. The economy now booming. It's getting better. They open this free trade zone and everything getting better. We're not this man talking. See?
And you know what happened? Right here, the people had faith. They didn't just have faith, knowledge in the world. They didn't have miracles. They had love. So if God said, he would be German to send me
to the brothers in Jerusalem, to the poor church. So that the church and the word of the Lord can be carried out here.
Amen.
Because they knew that God lived in the church in Jerusalem, you know where the church started, they knew that because of the politics and these things, and the economic situation there, they were Gentiles. Yet they're all color lines, all culture lines, all of them washed away by the revolution of the world.
Yeah.
And they're determined, they were like dogs and out here for the Jews. But they determined to send us relief. Remember Paul said in Corinthians church? He said, you have knowledge, you have authority, you have prophecy, you have this, you have that, but abound in this grace also.
Hallelujah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
He said, abound in this grace also. Yeah. To show that it's not just one kind of gift God wants to operate. To see God come from his people.
Yes.
And see the presence, the power of God spread out among the people.
Yes.
Let me tell you, the world is so real that when you can see the scripture presented to you and see how these things operate in the Bible, and you as a believer in the same message taking a stand in the world, not like the same God may put these things up back in here.
Yes.
And we are in the very hour when all these things happen.
Yes.
You hear me about Alice and Zephyr? They don't really believe that. You need people to walk in sin and come and live in unbelief and sit up in church and the life messed up again and go to church all the time pretending and saying that sin won't repent. And they believe it. They enjoy their life that don't have fellowship with God, but sin breaks the fellowship with God. Sin interrupts the fellowship. Sin being the kind of the person that God made sin to be covered. And the longer they stay there, it should they live comfortable in that state. Why? Because that spirit is becoming more and more bound and controlled by the enemy. Until their own desires are becoming so perverted that Satan has made them accept a lower way of life. When they're born, they're even a higher realm of life.
Amen.
I mean, don't let them do mistakes. You're born to live in the liberty of the Son of God. You're born to live in the presence of God. You're born to command the full privileges of a Son of God who will be redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. That I pause we can't forsake the grace of God. Because when we see what he shed his blood to accomplish and bring forth, and then we accept a different life, what we have to do, we have to reject for Calvary, and we make of no value what he did for us. You know that? You have to say our words, our actions make of no value. Now what? He said that discernment there shot and brought a heart attack and killed that man.
Thunder struck him in my head, which wife is the fewer? Peter told him, they eat that part of your husband. I tell you, when they see that divine spirit that's moving and pointing the person and telling who it was, they quit his house. Today they are brazen. My, look at this. He said, after that time, look what happened. And by the hands of the apostles, right after the little hands of the fewer, when Peter pointed them out and told what they had done, the very condemnation of things, to know what to do wrong, shot them till they died right there. Just think of it. The Holy Spirit speaking said, you have lied and have done a certain thing, and don't be drunk. You believe it's the same Holy Spirit. He has been challenged many times. Man. If the day that answer the Spirit to be killed, then there must be a word of knowledge in the church. Otherwise, this answer can be fulfilled if there's not a word of knowledge in the church.
Amen.
Because by a word of knowledge, the Peter followed, discerned that spirit there, and brought what was hidden and secret could only be revealed by supernatural knowledge, because there's something private and concealed. It will be brought up because God didn't want that in them yet. Now look, let's move on a bit. Let's look at scripture here. Show why people are being hindered in so many ways. Matthew 10. And to these messages is to help correct your attitude, correct your approach, fill me with thinking, and I trust that you will, as I tell the first one, in applying the word to yourself, you examine, see what your approach is, and you get an answer to the word. Let's try. Let's give over to the word. And God, let God see you are drawing nigh unto him, and he will draw nigh unto you. Bible says you the devil shall flee from you. If you draw nigh unto God, God will draw nigh unto you. You might be living with your whole journey on your own, but when your love to serve God projects, his grace will come and take over. Where you can put it and where you can manage it, God will come to see you desire to please him. Do something for God to honor. Do something to attract God. Do something to express faith in God. Like in the left us, if we say, here we're going to die anyhow. And we're going to go there, we're going to die too. So we're going anyhow. Amen! Yeah. Let us stay here and die. That's the way! Matthew 10, and when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. And then verse 5, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles and into any city of the Samaritans, enter not. Notice that? Notice it said, we read in Acts, just when we read our scripture, how they went to Cyprus and Phoenicia, but they preached the gospel to the Jews only. Alright, watch. He said, go not to where the Gentiles or in any city of Samaritans, enter not, but go rather to the lordship of the house of Israel. And as you go preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, he will take, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils, freely have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver, nor copper in your purses, nor a bag for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet a staff. For the workman is worthy of his hire. And into whatever city or country you shall enter, inquire who it is worthy, and there abide till you go from there. See, God wants you associated with unbelief and presumption in these things. And when you come into an house, greet it. If your house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. You don't have to judge. You just go in and bring your peace. And if it's not worthy, your peace is going to come back to you. The angels told the prophets, so if you come to the line there, pray for them, pronounce the blessing. He says, if I don't show you, I tell you the heal, pronounce the blessing anyhow, let them go. If not worthy, it will come back to you. That's why if any one preacher, that's God of the Lord. God has healed you, go on your way. You need to tell them the most of being one preacher. Because why? He's in the anointing of praying for you. You know, doctor? It's kind of commission. See? So now we think we are doing it. We think that we don't have to compromise. We got whole mind battle. Well, compromise, well, so. And we get bent on the ship, so we don't know the ways of God. We have another time, and God is going to go and tell about one preacher. See? That's why many people drive people food away. Then we win them to the gospel many times. Lack wisdom, don't know how to deal with people. Don't know how to spirit. Alright, verse 14. And whosoever shall not receive you nor hear your word when you depart out of that house of the city, shake off the dust of your feet.
very idea of you shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment for that city. Matthew 17, verse 14. He says, and when they will come to the multitude, verse 14, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy, my son, for he is epileptic, and greatly vexed, for oftentimes he falls into the fire and often into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I dare you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil and departed from him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples and Jesus cried with him. Why could not we cast him out? Because they knew Jesus gave them power in Matthew 10 to cast out devils, heal the sick, raise the dead, everything. They have power, he didn't take it back. He said, why should not cast him out? And Jesus said to them, because you're unbelief. For very I tell you, you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall see this mountain move from here to yonder place, and it shall move. And nothing shall be impossible unto you. How is this kind greatness out except by prayer and fasting? Now what's happening here? Let's learn something here. For you do it spirit. They have power. He didn't take back the power. And yet the power could not operate in this instance. And they knowing he didn't take back the power from them, they approached him and said, why can't we do it? He said, because of your unbelief. And he began to show them that what was their very faith wasn't sufficient to operate the power that they had. They had power, but they needed faith to operate the power. He said, now I can show you here about Jesus. Let me get here. Maybe I can close with this. You want it. Let me close with this. Put it right here. I think that you have a nice little nice atmosphere here. And those that may need help can get right here. You see what I've been getting at? The last few years. Trying to show you that God is here. How he operates. How the people should approach God to get what they want from him according to the word. Trying to show you in the Old Testament. Trying to show you in the New Testament how they work in the church. But when you read the word, you can see the man that is in the spirit. It wasn't the act of the apostles, it was the act of the Holy Spirit in the apostles.
Yeah.
And when Jesus told him to go to the Gentiles, to go to the Samaritans, go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel first. That was the program. The woman comes and says, Jesus, thou son of David, thou son of David. He never answered in one way. You know why? He said, I'm not sent to you. He says, it's not right, I should take the children's bread, meaning the Jews, and give it to you dogs, you Gentiles. He says, because I ain't sent to you. But the Bible says, he came on his own, and his own received him. He said, all the sheep I have of this fold, that is not of this fold. By the time he's going to come, there will be one fool and one shepherd. And when he commissioned them, he told them, go not to the Gentiles, go to the lost for the house of Israel. And that's why the message today can't go to the Jews yet. Though Israel as a nation was blinded, there was an elected group chosen to receive that light. And when they were called, they fallen and dust their feet. And they went to the Gentiles. And God was finished. There was a literal turn away of God from the Jews. Now what are these days, friends? There will be a literal turn away of God from the Gentiles. This Gentile is blinded, just like Israel is blinded. They crucified the Messiah a second time, the same way. But there's a remnant according to the election of grace.
that God, the end time evangelism, have been trying to catch the last fish in the lake. Trying to get that rainbow trout. Looking for character. Trying to get those names in the Lamb's book alive. So when the last word comes, then Eli's 30 will be 50 still. But notice something. After Jesus loosed the Holy Spirit, from Jesus going on these things, the Holy Spirit coming back in the church, it was the Holy Spirit manifesting all five offices, all nine gifts, all seven virtues in a church that was charity commission. It was the Alpha Bride in an invisible union with Jesus Christ. He was the head and they were the body. God and man was united together for fulfilling that commission. That when Paul got to speak, not another man could try to bring mercy to them. It was finished. God's work was done. In this day now, it's a spiritual church again. But in a more evil age, in a more religious age, with more hypocrisy, in a lukewarm age, with more organization, sharing of this commission. Back there, you can take a map and check it. They speak to Antioch. That is a couple hundred miles from Jerusalem. They sail to Cyprus, 15, 20 miles, when God preached the gospel. You see, look at the gospel is way up into the show, into the way down in the bottom of the sea, way down to the Paul never even came that far. To preach his message. People never travel that far. There was an arrangement for the world again, was just right in the Mediterranean. Little sitting right here. Traveling horseback and so on. But when civilization spread in the corners of the earth, God had to invent aeroplanes and all these things. Dragon horse and buggy and ox carter and wood and little ship sailing across the Mediterranean Sea. God crossing leads of oceans. See? Thousands and tens of thousands of miles to take the gospel of one and two. Down the bottom of Australia, calling the gospel. People desire to take two. Big continent like that. You don't even have as much people here in the whole Australian believers in the message. Yet you get lost in a river inside of you. But to show you, it's such a more evil age that when these things are happening, how people fail to see God. They don't know how to approach God, they don't know how to benefit from God. He said, gifts and callings, these are called gifts. I'm closing with this. In the church are to magnify and to make a people ready. He said, now God gave a gift in the time of Solomon. Solomon had a gift of wisdom. He was smart by wisdom of God. Not his own, but of God. He asked God for that, God gave that to him. If any gift of God will be recognized to be the truth, everybody going around was finding out what this was. The talk coming about it. You read 2 Chronicles 9 chapter, which came last week. And then read up in Sheba, the queen, a wonderful woman. Listen close now. Everybody back was coming back telling her, you should go to Palestine, the great God of heaven. She was a pagan. Well, the great God of heaven blessed a man and gave him a gift. His name is Solomon. You will see the power of his gift of the God of Israel. So many people tell her, you know, faith come by hearing. Everybody come by. A traveler passed by through Sheba. Why? She'd hear me. Oh, we come to Palestine. It's great. God has given a great gift up there. It's kept on till the queen said, you know what? I believe I've gone through myself. Don't stand up and dialogue with him. See? Where her name is tonight? Immortal, she said. But her action, what? Towards God's gift. That's the reason Martha got her brother, his soul back to life. Her faith and actions towards God's gift. That is the way the woman got her brothers to heal. Her faith towards God's gift. God has his kingdom set up. We put electric lights in this place. Run the wires, get it connected up, we put this in this place. You can go and press again the piece of wood there and turn them lights up in that radio. You have to work with where to put the switch. You have to work with it with how to set the system to control the lights. To receive lights, or whether you want lights at all, or turn up the lights. And God has a system set up too. And the approach, that woman came saying, "Thou son of David." And she was trying to grab at something that wasn't for her. But when he saw her place, "You're a Gentile, you're a dog." She broke. She said, "Yes, but even the dog eat the crumbs." And her attitude. He cannot say, "For this thing." He said, "For this thing." Her faith reflected her attitude and response. They hear him calling her dog. The other man got out and found such a great faith in all Israel. Why? It was the approach. He said, "I'm not worried about the man room." He said, "You step away and speak to us." That was a man's attitude towards the gift. That was a man approach with respect and humility and obeying himself. And look what it brought him. You see, God is not interested in a manifestation alone. Watch what brings that response from God. What's the approach, what's the attitude that gets God to move and act? Like happy life is nothing but the truth. See, watch. Sometimes we can get arrogant, we can say this, we get human, we get fossil, we get fine. That man preach against me, that man insult me, that man vision. And we get all bloke like a frog or something sometimes. When the Lord is just trying to bring us to a self-recognition, to recognize our need, to recognize who He is and how we must come to Him. What He wants to give to us and how He deals with us as He dealt with people in the Bible. Every time you see that one day, you say, "Lord, I'll be sad to show you." Remember the one down in Memphis? "I like a Shunammite woman. I have a son of a son. The son died." But she from the Samuel. He said, "Lord, where is Elisha?" Exactly. We don't pick people up. I'm going to tell them about my business. I'm going to learn fast. And God will fulfill something to show you to His promise to His church. God will fulfill so He can the word exactly from the Bible to show you to continue to minister the Son of Man and these things. We can kind of program somewhere else because somebody has a few problems. Before people let go and come under the word and say, "Leave me, Jesus. I believe your word. I want to walk in. I want to see you work in you. I love your church, Lord. I love your word. You shed your blood for this church. So Lord, I love the church. I love your word. I love your word." Amen! Amen. Because in the vials in the punches of your blood. I never want them to mouth to discriminate and prejudice and pull on and belittle and slander. No! But I speak, Lord, and listen to the good inside of them. Let me speak to them to your glory. Amen. If I see something there, let me have feeling the God's gonna win that person back and bring them to the word. Say, "Make that right, do this right, line up in the word." Let me have that attitude. And you watch and see. But when you hear, "I ain't want to say nothing because they will say I say," and they will involve me, and this and that, and you prop it up yourself with your little image that is so special and important to you, and the whole church has got to fall to the ground and havoc and become a disgrace, but you're trying to keep your little image. You fail to realize, know what you love. You love self more than what you just shed blood for. You have to see what is valuable to God. You have to see what God appreciates. You have to see how God sees something and relate it that way. And then you'll be blessed. Because your heart desire will be right in line with God's will and the way God wants to bless you. And I believe that when we close the service here this morning, any person out of here can be blessed with God. Any person out of here can receive and come to a place where they can walk with the Holy Spirit. If I have a word of comfort this morning, you examine yourself to like the word, and say, "Lord, I'm well with you.
I walk around with you. But I see the hour. I'm convinced. You talk to me, in fact, many times. I read the word and you talk to me. And I still didn't move. And maybe it's right. Put this morning. So take the word from this picture. Put a minister stand there. And blast it forth up to me. And shook me there. Lord, I'm humbling myself under your hand. See, I want to walk in that word. Because I want to serve you. I want to see the scripture fulfilled in my life. I want to have the identification of a real believer. Amen. If I don't have that, the life is in vain. I don't want to be a church member. I don't want to be a stuck satisfied coming along here. See? You see, don't there's a what's the attitude towards the gift? Look what that woman did. For the world in the issue of blood. Look what it is a man, look what it is a recruit in himself. When Peter, James, and John received power, Jesus gave them power to him, he said, Castle them to bring them. He said, I can show you where God gave that power to the church and you do. And you that don't believe in divine healing or miracles, show me where he took it away from the church. The church today is needing power. It's needing faith to operate what power it has. You have so much embarrassment to push into you that did the miracles in the past, some old cold morgue with the icicles, little icicles hanging on 90 below zero. Somebody there with some dead food of pumping into to be sure you stay there. If you come to a place to the Spirit of God has been breathed on the church to deny the supernatural, it will die as short as I'm standing in this pulpit. He that cometh to God must believe that he is and a reward of those who diligently seek him. He's alive in the same yesterday and then forever. In every principle and power a living Christ. Amen. Amen? Amen? So he says there, and the disciples come to him and say, Lord, did you take your power back? He never said you don't have power. They said, why can't we do it? He never said, well, because you lost your power. He said, because of your unbelief. A few days later from that, they found a man casting out devils who was the disciple. And the man was getting the job done. He was actually getting it done. He was casting out devils. He stood around here. Jesus said, whosoever will. He said, that's me. And away he went. He was getting the job done. That's right. And they were just because they couldn't do it. And they told Jesus, they said, you forbid him. He said, don't forbid him, for he has not with us scatters abroad. No man can do a miracle in my name except my ex and can speak light of me. And today it's nothing but play, childlike, juvenile jealousy among the high churches that won't bring themselves down to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and practice divine healing and the power of the Holy Ghost among the churches. They don't need no power to me. They need faith to operate the power that's here. He never took it back. The Baptist church has the gifts, the Methodist church has the gifts, the Pentecostal church has the gifts, the Catholic church has the gifts is everywhere. But people with the skepticism, people with the attitudes, people with the unbelief, these three words in danger. But by permission, you already give them away. They were given, they saw it work, and then boom, they got case of the conclusion. And they thought something was wrong. They said, Lord, give me the power. He said, no, sir. It's your unbelief. Not a lack of power, your unbelief. So many times, friends, every religious man. We just have to keep stopping and picking up these things because we come in one service and it's never long enough to really bring it all out. But as we go from piece by piece, we can see how that spirit here is here, friends. That God that brought you out this morning to the house of God. That God that wants to deal with you. I didn't get time to get to by Jesus. Whenever that gospel went, how the devil rose right up in the childhood of the world. When they went to Samaria, Simon the sorcerer. When they went to Asia, Macedonia, the woman in divination spirit. When they went out here, by Jesus. Devil power coming, challenge the true world. Woman with a gift too, fortune telling. These men are something the Most High God. Look like a good gift, look like a discernment or something, look like a gift of knowledge or something. It was a devil. Paul knew it was a devil. Paul knew it wasn't what they had. She had that ring inside her nose or something here. Face all painted up here, bum here, in some tight pants on your forehead. He knew that wasn't what they had. Because that thing that will bring that flesh in subjection to the world. It will turn that desire heavenly and set the affections and things above.
Cut them loose from Satan's Eden. There's a real Holy Spirit there. Don't settle for no make believe. Don't settle for no half obedience. There's a real operation of God. And God wants to work. God doesn't want to come with somebody enthusiastic, with somebody zeal. God wants to come and work to fulfill His word and to prove that He's the same yesterday and today and forever. You know something about God? You can't force God into no situation. You can't pull nothing out of God. But you can do like Elijah. Lord, we did this at Thy command. Father, let the fire fall and the Holy Spirit came down. You can't pull it. The others, they were trying to cut themselves, jump on ball and speed and run and everything else. And Elijah said, shout a little harder, maybe you're going to hear me. He said, maybe God's gone fishing. Freedom of them all. Why? He knew a divine approach. You see that supernatural God. But he was in union with that God. The word of that God had been revealed. He lived in the presence of that God. That is God's church, friend. God's church doesn't have people come to church one day, read a little bit one week, and then they want to see all of God manifest. And then the first little opportunity comes along, they run out in the world, and then they sit back down again, and they still want God to use them again. God with the life is separated, consecrated, a prisoner to Him. Shell, down to the world. An empty vessel, a channel that God wants. Character that God can be united with. That is what these men were. These men were in the Bible. That God displayed His things to them. You see the world? You sit in His presence every day? We're getting ready to make our journey back to our home to where you came. While we gather here today, in His presence, He's trying to stimulate faith, trying to get a hold of your spirit and tell you, I'm the God of the Bible. I'm still the same. You who have done something for, you who I'm revealing myself to. You who I'm drawing by my spirit. No man can come into the Father drawing. You have a purpose for you. Look how the boys are separate me, Paul and Barnabas, who I called to. Never retired, he was glad to go. Said, oh, the Gentiles here. They said, we're from home. They might not receive us. No. They went. Next verse said, and they went. Sent by the Lord, and they sailed this place, they sailed that place, and they meet bad Jesus, and a man challenged them right away, trying to pervert the right ways of God. But watch Paul, watch the Holy Spirit who called them, watch the Holy Spirit who anointed them, watch the Holy Spirit who sent them. He was guiding them, he was opening doors for them to preach His word, he was doing signs by them, he was winning souls to the kingdom, he was edifying and establishing churches. We set the church in order, God has been his work. The book of Acts shows us the whole of the working of the Holy Spirit. Everything that is necessary was to recognize it today. I want you this morning, as you weigh these things in your heart, as you ponder them in the presence of God. As you examine the light of the scriptures, as the Spirit in you give witness. There will be some kind of response. Is it the truth? Is it of God? Is that the word? Is this His promise? Does God want to work with people like that? Does God want to associate with us like that? We associate with a lot of people for a lot of reasons. We spend a lot of hours, a lot of time involved in a lot of things. That is no benefit. But we can look in God's word and see God wants to come down. God wants to dwell. God wants to walk in you. God wants to walk through you. God wants to lead you and guide you. God wants to make you an instrument in His hand. God wants to be so closely identified and associated with you in everything that you do. Does that impress you? Does that make you feel in your heart that seeing that in the Bible, seeing that in the program for this hour, knowing that one of these days that they are literally turned away? that you could be so convinced to bring your will subject to the will of the Holy Spirit. To say, Lord, when I compare with my own desire, that's a far greater ambition than what I can have in this life. When I see what you've done for me and what you've done for others and what you're willing to even do for me still. Because something in my heart is telling me that you're the truth and you can do that to me. You don't want to turn away something like that, would you? You want to harden or resist that? Like Stephen said, resist the Holy Spirit. As much as you feel maybe shame or embarrassment or whatever, you say, Lord, this is the place to talk to me, so this is the place I want to let go and respond to you. I don't want to go back home. I don't want to go up in the hills. I don't want to take a trip to Tobago and rent a little place and get up here and then talk to you. Lord, you took me right here this morning. I recognize your will. I recognize your presence right in the service. I'm right where it's in my heart to tell me that the truth. I don't know if I walk on the service, I'm going to be saved. But what's going to happen to me? If in the last time I can still hear a voice, I want to receive that. I'm not trying to use no psychological force about it or nothing. I'm trying to speak to you by the sincerity of my heart here. Because I believe what I'm speaking. If I never preach another message, I tried to represent God as best I could this morning. Amen. What ability He gives me, and what grace He loves me to stand here. If I just go through at dawn, this is my last service, you could say, you know, He preached that morning. I was in this service, and He preached from His heart. And He tried to impress upon us the seriousness, the reality. Not of His own ideas, but what the Scripture says, and what God has confirmed by the message of this hour. That's all I'm trying to do, represent Him before you. But if I find grace before you, and you somehow in your heart could receive me as a servant of Jesus Christ, that it put standing here to preach this message to you this morning. You might come another day and there might be another person standing preaching. They're going to preach their conviction. They're going to preach the way the Spirit used them. They're going to preach with the faith that God gave them. They're going to walk in the way they feel led by the Spirit. While I'm here speaking to you, I'm saying, don't turn this down. Receive this right where you're sitting. Open your heart to it. Because God is interested in us. He sees our situation. He knows what we're going to be tomorrow, next day, the week after. That's why sometimes He deals with us at a certain junction. So it gives Him the opportunity, it gives Him the space and the time He requires, He wants of us to deal with us. Because you know where we're going to be. Let's open our heart to Him. Let's yield and surrender to Him. Let's bow our heads. Close our eyes. Almighty God, you know how my heart was troubled this morning before I came to this service. But I came late, dear God. Trouble coming to this pulpit. So many things going through my mind, looking to you for guidance, looking to see your will revealed. Lord, I know I've made many mistakes and many failures. Know that I'm not what I ought to be, even as a servant of Jesus Christ. Sometimes people look at me and see so much good, it's only because they love me. But Lord, when I look at my own self, I realize that I come short in being a servant of God and so much, Lord, because of what you show me and what I see and what I believe that I ought to be for you, one who loved us the way that you have loved us. That what we offer back as a life of service is something so ragged and so unworthy and
So undeserving of what? Who have shown us such grace and love and mercy. I stand, Lord, trying to represent you here before these people today. Trust in my heart that I did good. Dear God, that by the word that was ministered, the Spirit of God would have been able to give hope to them, to shine light in their pathway, to touch them in a place where they would want to give up, Lord, and let go and draw nigh unto you, come into a full surrender to you. I don't want them to see me as somebody that we can preach, or we have a nice work here, or we want to act our membership. Father, you know that is the least in my mind. When they come through these doors, I want them to see you, Lord. I want them to know you. I want them to come into a relationship with you, Jesus. I want them to learn to love you and give their lives to you. Love you in such a way that if they had a million lives, they would give it all to you. I want them to be convinced of your word that you are a holy God and you cannot tolerate sin, Lord. Just the deceitfulness of the devil and hardness make us callous on the inside and indifferent to hold us in bondage and make us rebellious and resisting the Holy Spirit. Keep us away from deliverance and keep us away from the one who really loves us. We might be a servant of sin and have to destroy our body and our soul. Then he sent us to a Christless grave and then led us to the lake of fire, into torment, everlasting punishment. But Lord, your promise and prepared so much better things for us. Oh, that today as we sit in your presence, Lord Jesus, you just touch the hearts of these that are here. There are those that are weak. There are those that are fallen. There are those that are perishing, Lord, backslidden, cold. There are those, oh God, that are confused. There are those that need light to make decisions, need direction from you, Lord. There are those that need witness and confirmation from your Holy Spirit. There are those that need immediate help, divine intervention right now. Oh God, you love your children, Father. Dear God, in all of the Father give you will come, no man is able to pluck them out of my hand. Reach forth that hand today. Let your ear be attentive today, Lord. Oh God, to the supplication of your children. Your ear is not deaf, neither is your hand short. Let an arm of the Lord be revealed. Let that true report be heard, Lord. May by your Holy Spirit, oh God, you draw your children unto yourself today. Take them out of that miry clay. Take them out of that cold, dark pit, Lord. Shall the dust praise thee? Don't let them go down to that pit, Lord. From where there's no return, set them upon a rock. Wash them, Lord, to wash you the waters of your word. Break every evil power, all the darkness, the forces of hell that war against the mind, against the soul, trying to hold them in torment, oh God, trying to fill them with condemnation, trying to, Lord God, blind them with lies and deception. Trying to tell them something that the past repentance and all these things. Let them see your love, Lord.
Let the devil confuse your mind about these things. Let the spirit of truth make it clear, make it real. Give them faith that even the Lord has started through the mind, yet something their heart will witness that is the truth, because it speaks to their soul, the inner man. Grant it, Lord. Grant it today, Father. Father, sit here in your presence. Your holy power here moving among us to bring all these vessels. Like it was back in the time of Israel when they had fallen from grace, and Nebuchadnezzar and Babylonian power came and took them vessels of the house of God, carried them down to Babylon and defiled them. But oh God, there's a time when them vessels had to be brought back and be sanctified, be put back in the house of God, put back in the service of God. Oh Jesus. Are these men some here, vessels of honor, set aside for the Master's use, designed and made by your great workmanship, fashioned because of your purpose to use them in your service? But the power of the enemy have taken the captivity of defiled some, old God. You are still that same God who becomes angry when the enemy wants to defile your vessels, O God. Come down, Lord, to pour your wrath like a dude Belshazzar's drunken feast. O God, grant grace and mercy to thee. Let a spirit of conviction, let genuine repentance, and let humility prevail. Take away our proud, haughty, lifted up spirit, O God, that would try to hold back your children from the deliverance that you have made secure when you shed your blood, when the chastisement for our peace were upon you. Those that might be sick in the bodies, Lord, by your stripes, when they've beaten you, Lord, and you would recant. But Lord God, you were done before your sheriffs, taking every whip, O God, and ripped through your flesh. No retaliation, you determined to drink that bitter cup. Because you know we've been a service like this, there'd be one needing healing. And you wanted to make that secure, that they'd be able to look back at that finished work. Have faith that you are the Lord who healed them all their diseases, and by your stripes they were healed. Grant it, Father. Deal with us. Deal with everyone. Out in the rooms. All along the building. Here in the sanctuary, O God. May the Spirit of God not let us go from this place without, O God, we leave with the peace of God. Without true reconciliation, through the coming through the blood of Jesus Christ. Let your grace flow, your pardon and grace. Let your mercy, Lord. Those that are in need of you today, Lord, let faith rise in their hearts. Lord God, to receive it from you today. Please, Lord. Oh God, with all the depth of sincerity, I'm asking that for everyone in your divine presence under the sound of my voice today. Confess my sins and the sins of the people here. Asking your precious blood to apply to our confession, that the Holy Spirit be not hindered or paralyzed or be bound in any way from extending this mercy and grace that will give a new lease on life. Indeed, O God, is longing for the reality of that experience. Grant it, Lord. Reach down your hand today. Reach down your hand today, Father. And with your great mighty hand, may you lift them up. Grant it, Lord, I pray. All that would desire of receiving you, all, Father, come unto me, all yet labor and heavenly labor.
Lord, we believe that promise is still good even today. Now we'll give them a rest. You that commit unto me, I will know I have cast out. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm being a lowly in heart. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though your red as crimson, shall be white as wool. Come without money, without price. Look unto Jesus. Look and live. Oh God, we believe, Father. Let faith spread out. Let move in their hearts now. That this blessing can be received by those in need. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray and ask. Amen. When he reached out his hand to me, once my soul was astray. Once my soul was astray, all from the heavenly way.
heart and rejoice.
We will anoint these here with oil
the symbol of that Holy Spirit. If there's one of you here with things in your life to make right, you remain at the altar. We can deal with you personally. Don't be hypocritical. Don't be pretentious. Otherwise, when you do that, that devil that is holding you or drop you will become stronger and will truly have legal rights to stay there. And then it will be that much more harder for you to be free from these things. But when you can be sincere with God, Lord, I've sinned, I've done wrong. Help me. Break this thing from me. Free from these things. That I can serve you and be the son and daughter you want me to be. Let me tell you, you'll never be ashamed. If you believe with your heart, confess with your mouth, and you shall never be ashamed. God is looking for sincere hearts to deal with. I'll let the deacon quickly just anoint you this oil quickly here, and then we'll pray the prayer of faith, asking God by His grace. You've been taught in the church here to believe and how to have faith. And that's what we want to do by God's grace. That God's people can receive. You can exercise your faith. You can approach God the right way. You can approach His presence with respect. You can come in the right attitude. You can come in sincerity and faith. The word don't fail. I want you to believe that. Believe in the scripture. Believe in the word that's been preached to you. Believe in the Bible. And then I want you all to be reverent. I want you all to have respect. Because what is being done here is the commandment of God in the scripture. These things are being done in obedience to the word of God. That these who come looking for help will not go away disappointed. Jesus breaks every fetter. There is somebody to come to. Friends, if you really want to see a move of God, if you really want to see more of the Holy Spirit, if you want to receive more in your own individual personal life, remember the Holy Ghost in the church and the Holy Ghost in the people. Remember, for God to come into your life, there must be conditions that is right, that the Holy Spirit will come and not be grieved away. God is merciful. He is a merciful God. When we can stand in God's presence like this today, in obedience to the word, as children of God, all have sinned and come short of the glory. Taking somebody to this word and somebody else's sin, we all come short. We all have different weaknesses. This is being sincere and can receive from God what He made available to us, because He wants to give it to us. And I believe He will, if we find a sincere heart today. I can't pledge that for everybody, but I can say, where in the heart they reach God and be sincere and obedient to this word, that God is going to meet with them. I have nothing to give nobody personally. I'm trying to use my gift to help you have faith that the work is finished. Already finished. But my help convinces you and help you to believe and trust in what He has done and meet Him on the ground that you might receive it. It's time a lot of people stand still to walk close to God. People are being smitten with sickness. People are dying. You know why? Because a lot of people in this church are sitting with sin inside their lives. Halfway hypocritical, walking around this church, thinking that they're not being seen. But let me tell you something. You mark my words, this day, as a servant of the Lord. This day, standing here, that it has people here who is looking for help and willing to confess their sin. There's some system out there hypocritically
their troubles and these things be put upon someone else. If it has to be to free them because of somebody's unbelief and disrespect and disobedience to the Holy Spirit. It's time people realize that coming to the house of God is not a playground. It's not an arcade where they come and walk through and browse through. But a place we come to worship and concentrate and dedicate our lives. And know what is right and what is wrong. And walk close to God this hour. I think. Let's bow our heads. Close our eyes. As we look to Him, we look for our deep breath and repentance. And those of you, as I said, you have something to make right, something that needs to be acknowledged before the Holy Spirit. You stay here. After we pray, we can talk with you. Man, help you. You don't have to make nobody feel bad and belittle nobody. This is to help people, to help the church. This is to help the church come to a place where God can move among His people. Don't wait for God to just pass people out for it. Don't wait for God to bring trouble in your home and your children and say they don't care if I'm a believer. When they send the mercy to your eyes, let the love of God put your heart in desperation. If you want to see reality with God. Jesus breathe. Because, dear God, they want to walk close to you. Some, dear God, might have certain things that need immediate attention. They have stepped forward as a sign of faith. Coming unto you, believe that you are, and that you are a rewarder of them who diligently seek you. Lord, you know everyone standing here kneeling around this sacred desk. But knowing yet, God, that all of hell is against this truth. All of hell is against this people. Some is battered. Some, Lord, is trying to hinder. Some you hold and bind and take them to captivity. Some is spoil, oh God, and try to pervert. Father, you serve us, standing here preaching your word, and seeing, oh God, so much of my people, Lord, that is in great need. What can I do, Father? But Lord, I'm reminded, oh God, of that little story about that policeman. He don't have no power to stop that truck coming 90 miles an hour, but he has authority. Authority has been invested by the state, given unto him, O God, and commissioned him as a policeman to see if the traffic is regulated properly and he can stop a line of traffic. You don't have to look at how fast that truck is coming.
You have to think of how small he is and that he's able to touch in his own mind. No dead God will give his hand blow at the whistle. All the power of this hate is behind him. Lord, I stand here this morning, nothing presumptuous, nothing ambition, O God, but trying to be faithful to the office, to the commission, to the service that you've called to be rendered to this year, your people, dear God, as one standing here ministering to them. No, O God, that's just the very fact that you called me to preach the gospel. I have a right, a legal right, even to pray for these sick people here. Oh, gracious God, they have been anointed with oil according to the scripture. They've been taught how to approach you, Lord. They've been taught not just my faith, but their own individual faith in your finished work. They've been taught how to approach you sincerity and faith. How to make a confession. Oh God, then they are subject to all the powers of God in heaven. He said, ask, and it shall be given. If you ask for a bread, I will not give you a stone. If you ask for a fish, I will not give you a serpent. They have a need, Father. Especially them, O God, who is standing here. Not because of sin in their lives. Not because, Lord, of blood around the world. Not because, Lord, of being disobedient to His Spirit. I pray, dear God, that you will minister to them and you will grant them that need. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, standing here in that my faith, dear faith, Lord. And together we stand upon your word. Receive what you have done for us in the finished work at Calvary. And they hold that request in their heart even now, Father. Confessing before you in your presence, as thy servant standing night with them praying, that you are able to do this for them. Surely you said you shall supply their need, even according to your riches and glory. Let them receive it. Whether it's a financial need, a domestic need, whether it's a spiritual need, O God, may the Holy Spirit, who is so specific, be so mindful, focus upon each one individually, minister to each one individually, knowing you know everyone that stand here by name, you know every hair that is numbered upon their head, and you said two sparrows go from falling, one will not fall to the ground, but if you know it, O God, how much more are they than sparrows? Lord, I stretch forth my hands over them. In the name of Jesus Christ, may the angel of the covenant, the one in whom that your name is in, who is sent, O God, to go before us, O God, who speak your word, Father, who we should not provoke, whose voice we should obey, who is sent to bring us into the place in prepared for us. May he minister to them, that they will go away with the assurance and the comfort that are called into their faith as they believe and confess that you are able to do for them what they hold in their hearts and confess in thy presence and expect to receive from your hand, that they shall have it just as they ask it. Grant, dear Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, then these, O God, quietly to have your sin put in your blood. And know they can only be placed in that blood by confession. Yet God, out of your sincerity in their heart, you said you love truthfulness to into a heart. Oh God, that they would, where they have done wrong, where they have sinned, dear God, they'll be so ashamed of it. They'll be so condemned in their heart for sowing towards the flesh, for walking under the influence of the enemy, for separating themselves from the world and getting up the air, Father. Oh God, where they
they magnify themselves in thought and word and in deed. God, them who are in need of your mercy and grace and forgiveness, Father, you would happen. You would grant pardon, dear God. God, your presence, bleach of your blood, will break the sins, O God. And as we are willing to confess our sins, you are just and faithful to forgive us our sins. You will always hear sincere prayer, like Samson, when he cried out just once more, Lord, when he was in dead earnest, when he saw, oh God, you hear sincere prayer, when he's willing to pay the price to see the presence of God come to his life again. Oh God, when he's ashamed of himself, so dear God, I pray, indeed you seek that deliverance from evil powers. No, no, God, that devil will have no legal right to hold him in that captivity. If that sin be confessed, that devil be exposed. He'll have to turn them loose. Then, oh God, you can anoint him with a gallon of oil and scream day and night and pray day and night. If that sin is not confessed, that devil will stay right there because he has legal right to do so. Gracious God, know that you want to deliver your children, Father. May you see that sincerity. May, O God, the power of the enemy be broken. May it be turned loose to walk in liberty in the freedom of the Holy Spirit. Grant it, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray the ask. Father, be with this place. May your presence go. Then we will have to go on the way. May you dismiss them from this place of your presence. As we would see if there be any need that we might remain in the linger, O God, to continue to minister, that total deliverance might come to all that are needed today. God, we will not play church any longer. God, you will begin to bring it to a place where we will not even sit in this place comfortably with sin in our lives, with some halfway Christianity. But that the Holy Ghost, dear God, move it out of my mouth. God, put the desire in our hearts to desire the realities of God. That we will not settle for no halfway church. We will not settle for no halfway Christianity. We will be tired and fed up and disgusted. Oh God, we're not going along halfway. We want to see a real Holy Ghost church where the Spirit of God will move in such a way among the people. Lord God, people will not let these things linger around them. The Holy Spirit will deal with them. We will purpose our heart to walk uprightly. Live true to you, Lord. That's the kind of church you're looking for this hour. That's the kind of church you're going to take, dear God. That's the very church you're sending us to restore. I pray you help us. You can read the scriptures. That what we know is promised and it is here can work with great effectiveness in the fullness of how you promise it for your glory, for your honor. That your church might be fully ready in the name of Jesus Christ the Apostle. Have your own way, Father. Bring us back another time when you see this. We love you and appreciate you. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy, Lord. We thank you for your pardon. We thank you for your forgiveness. We thank you for your love, Lord. We thank you for your love, suffering. We thank you for your gentleness and your peace and your kindness. That love and kindness is better than life. Oh, God. Have thine own way. Have thine own way. Thank you. Those of you who have to leave can leave. Those who are about to seek now, stay here. But those who I need to talk to personally, get these things right, that God's presence can really do something. And you will never have to be afraid of backsliding, or the devil might get me back, or I might be able to live this life, or I ain't living as a bride. God's Spirit will come into your life in such a way and deal with you and put the seal upon you. That the only way the devil can get me up is justified, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Spirit, and by this will be your brother. He'll be so sealed up and you'll be so sealed, you don't be frightened no more. Wouldn't you like that kind of life? That kind of Christianity you should want, friend. And let me tell you, you are the leaders in this assembly. You will be locked here. You tell a prayer that God give us a church that didn't carry me inside of here. You tell a prayer that you desire to see God move, that God will have me halfway life, but we'll be so shaken, we'll be so condemned by the Holy Spirit that nobody wants to live halfway. Which is a movement of the Holy Spirit inside of here. A church that's really going to get ready to be the Lord Jesus Christ. That God will bring some conviction upon us. We want to be the real article or nothing else. Best to go back in the denomination of a halfway life is that we want. But we want to serve God and we want to walk in His life. Let's live everywhere because God has promised all that we need to live everywhere. I believe if you desire that, rather than trying to hold God in some halfway in between place, God will want that. You are going to come into your life in a full way, coming into your life in a full way. I believe it. We put our own church, but I see people here who come to the altar too much time, who come to prayer too much time, and they go back out. You know why? It's an old pack of life. They're going to be pressed, burst back open, and the snow get old. Because the plague of God is that they come to the altar. These things to be burned out once and for all. That brother said, they love their lesson to become a new creation. They took it serious, they saw the reproach that these things brought upon them of God. They saw it hinder the church, they saw it hinder them, they saw it made a mess in the name of Jesus Christ, only glorified the devil, that they would hate the sin, they would never want to meet again. But when they come to the altar over and over the same thing, you know that is a real weakness, that those things have to get personal to the same too. That the Holy Spirit can break these things once and for all. I believe that. I believe that's the word as best I do it. So those of you who need to go back to your seat, those of you who need to be dismissed, we are praying to this prayer, and then these who want to stay here, I'll will talk with them and pray with them, and we worship the Lord, and some of you will just be able to worship by God's grace.
Oh. Yeah.